بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to a program over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our previous discourse, we discussed the prohibition of interest from the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also referred to few verses from the Bible, from the Old Testament and the New Testament, on the prohibition of interest. We also refer to some wise sayings of people on the prohibition and the harms of interest. Today's discourse will be a continuation of that and discussing certain technical issues of interest. There are two categories of interest. One is the interest that is prohibited in the Quran-e-Kareem. And that is interest on loans. If I take a loan from you, for example, of 1,000 rand with a 10% interest, I would have to return to you 1,100 rand over a mutually agreed period. So this is interest on a loan. I give you a loan and I take interest from you. That is the type of interest that is prohibited in the Quran-e-Kareem. And the second category of interest is the interest that is prohibited in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is interest on dealings. I sell you an item, you owe me money, you're supposed to be paying me within a period of time, but you were unable to pay, you ask for extension of that. And under the extension, I charge you interest. So this is interest on a dealing, not interest on a loan. The interest that is generally referred to, the interest that is prohibited in the Quran-e-Kareem, is called riba an-nasi'a, technical term. And the riba, the interest that is prohibited in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is called riba al-fadl. The basis of the prohibition of interest from the hadith is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الذَّهَبُ بِالذَّهَبُ وَالْفِدَّةُ بِالْفِدَّةُ وَالْبُرُّ بِالْبُرُّ وَالشَّعِيرُ بِالشَّعِيرُ وَالتَّمَرُ بِالتَّمَرُ وَالْمِلْحُ بِالْمِلْحُ مَثَلًا بِمَثَلٍ يَدًا بِيَدٍ أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The translation of the hadith. And I want you to concentrate on the words of the hadith, the translation of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, gold sold in exchange of gold. Silver sold in exchange of silver. Wheat sold in exchange of wheat. Barley sold in exchange of barley. Dates sold in exchange of dates. Salt sold in exchange of salt. 6 items have been enumerated. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, when you do transactions in these 6 things, then it must be done in 2 ways. Mathalam bi masalin. There must be complete equality. And yadam bi yadin. That it must be hand to hand, and it must be a cash transaction. Now if you ponder in this hadith, you will observe that there are 2 characteristics in the 6 things that have been mentioned in the hadith. Gold in exchange of gold. Silver in exchange of silver. Now you'll see, there's 2 characteristics in it. First, 2 things that are exchanged of the same type. In academic terms, we call it jins. 2 things exchanged of the same type. Gold in exchange of gold. Silver in exchange of silver. Wheat in exchange of wheat. Barley in exchange of barley. So 2 things of the same type. And the second characteristic in these 6 items mentioned in the hadith is these items are sold by weight or by scale. So in these 6 things that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, the fuqaha, the jurists, they've applied their minds to determine that what is the cause, what is the reason for the prohibition of interest in these 6 items. And they have characterized these 6 items and they concluded that there are 2 characteristics in these 6 items. 2 things sold of the same type, and those 2 items, they are either sold by weight or sold by scale. And from there, they deduced 3 principles. If you ponder upon it, you apply your mind, it will become very easy to understand. And I will repeat it 2 or 3 times so that you would grasp the concept. If there are 2 things that are exchanged, and both of them are of the same type, and both these items are sold by scale or by weight, then 2 things are prohibited. You cannot sell by credit, and neither can you sell surplus. Again, if there are 2 things that are of the same type, and both these items are sold by scale or by weight, that will lead to 2 prohibitions. That is, you cannot sell by credit, and neither can you sell by surplus. Example. If I have to sell to you 100 kilograms of rice, in exchange of 100 kilograms of rice, maybe one is a superior type of a rice and one is of a lower grade of rice, but we are exchanging rice for rice. So on both sides they are same thing, rice for rice. And rice, it is sold by weight or maybe by scale. So the 2 reasons are found. 2 things of the same type, and They are sold by weight or they are sold by scale. That will lead to two prohibitions. This type of transaction, rice in exchange of rice, you cannot sell it in by credit. It has to be a cash deal. And second, there can't be surplus on either side. If I'm selling you 100 kilos of rice, you have to return 100 kilos of rice to me. It can't be more, it can't be less. So this is the first principle. Second principle, if there are two things that are exchanged, two things that are sold, and both these reasons, both these causes that are mentioned in the hadith, jinns, two things being of the same type, that is not found. And these two items, they are not sold by weight or they are not sold by scale. Then, these two prohibitions would not apply. In other words, it is permissible to sell by credit and surplus will also be permissible. For example, on one side, somebody got cell phones and on the other side, somebody got cameras. Now, both are two completely different things. And these items are sold by units. They are not sold by weight or not sold by scale. So both these causes that I mentioned in the hadith are not found in this. Now in this case, it is permissible to sell on credit. One side credit, two side credit is not permissible. And surplus is also permissible. For example, one person may give 10 cell phones in exchange of 20 cameras. Here, two causes are not found and therefore it is permissible. Another third, if one of the two causes are found, for example, on one side there is rice and on the other side there is wheat or there's the wheat or barley. Now there's two different things. But both of them are sold by weight or scale. Now in this case, credit transaction will be prohibited. But surplus, one side more, one side less, will be permissible. If, for example, somebody have to give 100 kilograms of rice in exchange of 200 kilograms of barley, then that would be permissible. Because there's two different things. But only one of the illat, one of the causes of the prohibition is found. So therefore, a credit transaction will be prohibited. That means you have to do a cash transaction, but surplus, that will be permissible. So this is basically the general rule and the principle on that. Leading from that, the exception would be in transacting in gold and in silver. The laws of transacting in gold and silver are more stricter than the four things that are mentioned in the hadith. In this hadith, there are six things that are mentioned, gold for gold, silver for silver. Besides that, there are other four things that have been mentioned in this hadith. There's little flexibility in those four things where you don't have to take physical possession of it. But in gold and silver, if you're exchanging gold for gold or gold in exchange of silver, then one extra condition will be that you have to take physical possession of the item. And that is called the transaction of sarf, where we will be dealing with that completely and separately. Now, the six items that have been mentioned in the hadith, they were regarded to be currencies at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just as interest on loans were prohibited, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wanted to prohibit interest completely. And therefore, interest on dealings have also been prohibited because these six items were used as currencies at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So every form of interest-bearing transaction have been made haram, it has been made prohibited. But with that, we should also discuss the transaction or the riba in exchanging currencies. If there are two currencies of the same type, for example, rand in exchange of rand, now both of them have to be completely equal. But the question arises, why would one give more, one give less in rands? Sometimes it may happen that somebody got rands and somebody got the coins. So, they would probably give more coins and lesser notes. There would be a difference in that. And sometimes certain shopkeepers do that because it's a little cumbersome to carry coins. And there's more value of the note in relation to the coins. But when you're transacting two currencies of the same type, then this transaction, it must be a cash transaction. It can't be credit. Both sides, they need to take possession of it, and it must be completely equal. There can't be more on one side and the lesser on the other side. If there are two currencies of different denominations, for example, if it is rands exchanging with dollars, which is a common thing, many people do that. They exchange rands in exchange of dollars, or rands in exchange of euros, or rands in exchange of sterlings. These are two currencies of different denominations. If it is a cash transaction, not a credit, I give you the rands now, immediately you give me the dollars. Or I give you the rands, you give me the sterlings. It's taking same place in the same gathering. Then we can mutually agree on the rate. We don't have to go on the spot rate or on the market rate. In certain countries, there's a difference between the spot rate and market rate. In certain countries, the spot rate and the market rate is the same. Whatever the case may be, if a person is transacting in two different currencies and it's a cash transaction, they may mutually agree on the rate. You don't have to go on the market rate. You don't have to go on the spot rate. And if you are transacting in two different currencies, one side dollar, the other side there is rands, or one side dollar, the other side is euros, and it's not a cash transaction, one side cash, one side credit, then you have to go by the spot rate. You cannot sell the rands, or you cannot sell the dollars, one of the two currencies, on a mutually agreed rate. If you're going to do that, then that will lead to open up the doors to riba, open up doors to interest. Yes, of course, two-side credit. For example, I've got rands, or I wish to give you rands at the end of the month, and at the end of the month you will give me dollars, but we conclude a deal now. So this is a two-sided credit, and according to Sharia, two-sided credit is haram, and it is prohibited. So this is as far as exchanging currencies are concerned. Now, many people are asking about the Bitcoin and what is the Sharia concept and Sharia position on cryptocurrencies. There's two type of currencies. One is natural currency, which is gold and silver. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has put value in the gold and silver. Gold and silver within itself, it has an intrinsic value. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created value in the gold and in the silver. Then you have an artificial currency. An artificial currency are of different types. The first one, it's called a commodity currency. Like what is mentioned in the hadith, wheat in exchange of wheat, barley in exchange of barley. And in the previous times, the people used to do the barter system. So it was items that were exchanged and the items were used as currency. The bartering system, that is called a commodity currency. The second, the fiat currency. For example, the currencies that are in vogue and that is controlled by the various governments around the world. The rand, the dollars, the euros, the sterlings and whatever it may be. These are fiat currencies. The third, you get the fiduciary currency, where the different type of checkbooks, etc. And then you get the fourth. That is the electronic currency, where people would transfer through EFT, etc. Oh, the credit card, the debit card, they all fall under electronic currency. Now, apart from all that, the new type of currency that have come and people are querying about that is the digital currency. And bitcoins, cryptocurrencies, and the various type of new digital currency that have come in vogue, they fall under this category. And the basic concept, without going into much detail about what the Bitcoin is all about, there's much coverage of that in the various type of medias, in the electronic media, in the print media. But in brief, it's basically you have to solve a mathematical equation. And if you are successful in that, you are rewarded with a Bitcoin. And then that Bitcoin, that is that goes into a type of a wallet, and it is preserved in a specific way. Now, from the Shariat point of view, how will we categorize a Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? Is it a currency or not? We cannot deny that it could be a currency. And in order for something to be a currency, it does not have to be like rands, dollars, etc. Whatever is in vogue and a generally norm, a generally accepted currency in the environment, that will be regarded to be a currency. And the fuqaha mentioned, al-mal ma yatamawwaluhu inda an-nas. Mal, money, or wealth is whatever is generally accepted among people. Likewise, thaman, money is something which is generally accepted among people. So if Bitcoin is something that is generally accepted among the people, then it will be regarded to be a currency. However, we look at the attitude of reliable, competent muftis around the world. They have exercised precaution in issuing a ruling on that. They all agree that it could be a currency. However, with the currency, there are so many other implications of the different type of currencies. And what will the implication be as far as zakat is concerned? What the implication will be as far as interest is concerned? They all are waiting to see, because it's a new concept, and we don't know that how common it may get, how popular it may get. At times, something starts off, and over a period of time, it may just die off. So the ulama are watching, and they're observing the various markets. We see in China, there's objection to the bitcoins, and other financial institutions, some of them have objected to it, some of them are promoting it. So it becomes very difficult to issue an absolute ruling on the concept of Bitcoin. Yet, of course, there's so much of marketing on the Bitcoin at the moment. I just saw the price of the Bitcoin today. It goes at 93,000, just for one Bitcoin, 93,256 rand and 70 cents. That's just one Bitcoin. Now, there's so much of marketing done on that. And then, with that, there are also various concepts of marketing with that, and it's also included in the forex markets. Forex itself, there are so many different type of forex, and the Bitcoin is being marketed within the concept of forex, and that makes issue much more complicating. So therefore, the ulama have exercised a lot of ihtiyat and precaution on that. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi presents 7 chapters here, and the hadith that I mentioned about Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the 7 chapters, Imam Bukhari has mentioned one part of the hadith. I will just do one hadith of exchanging currencies, but before I do the hadith, just a word of some wise words that come from some people. One is a permissibility and one is a practicality. Often something may be permissible, but it may not be practical. So, we want to look at the Sharia aspect of it, that it is permissible. Just that it is permissible, you won't go and immediately buy the Bitcoin. You'll also look at the practical aspect of it, and you look at the expedient part of it before you conclude and do a transaction. Now, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he quotes a hadith. It is under the chapter of Bay'u Sha'ir ibn Sha'ir, the transaction of Bali in exchange of Bali, and he quotes the hadith from Malik ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Malik ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Innahu iltamasa salfan bi mi'ati dinarin. On one occasion, he had 100 gold coins. And he wanted to change with 100 gold coins. So, this Malik ibn Awd was a Sahabi. So, we understand from among the Sahaba themselves, they also used to do exchanges of money and exchanges of various currencies. So, Fada'ani Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Another Sahabi, Talha ibn Ubaidullah, he was a Sahabi that was among the Ashari Mubashara. 10 Sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in one hadith. So, such a great illustrious Sahabi, he called me, Malik ibn Awd says, Talha ibn Ubaidullah called me, Fatara Wazna. He started negotiating with me on the price of the dollar, of the price of the gold coin in exchange of silver coins. Hatta istarafa minni, until he exchanged the gold coin in exchange of silver coins. Fa'akhada dhahab. So Talha ibn Ubaidullah, he took the 100 gold coins, yuqallibuha fi yadihi, he was playing with it in his hands, moving it around in his hands, thumma qal, and then he told to me that as far as the silver coin are concerned, in exchange of this 100 gold coin, hatta ya'tiya khadimi min al-ghaba, that my treasurer, the person that is in charge of my money affairs, he will bring the silver coin from Ghaba. Then he will give it to you. In other words, that he took possession of the 100 gold coin, a silver coin, it will be credited, be at a later stage. Wa Umar yasma'u dhalik. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, hearing the discussion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately objected. Now remember, as I mentioned, there's gold in exchange of silver, it can't be a credit deal, it must be a cash deal, in the one gathering, possession must be taken on both sides. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately corrected. فَقَالْ وَاللَّهُ لَا تُفَارِقُهُ حَتَّى تَأْخُذَ مِنْهُ. By Allah, he addressed Malik ibn Awd, you will not move away from Talha ibn Ubaidullah until you don't take the silver coin from him in exchange of the golden coin. In other words, that it can't be a credit transaction. Make sure you take it. So whole concept of the exchange of currencies, etc., cash, credit, etc., it is derived from this hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala quoted the hadith. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَذَّهَبُ بِالْوَرَقِ رِبَا. Gold in exchange of silver is interest. إِلَّا هَا أَوَهَاءَ. Unless it is a cash transaction, hand to hand. وَالْبُرُّ بِالْبُرِّ رِبَا إِلَّا هَا أَوَهَاءَ. Wheat in exchange of wheat will be riba, interest, unless it is done hand to hand, that is a cash transaction. وَالشَّعِيرُ بِالشَّعِيرِ رِبَا إِلَّا هَا أَوَهَاءَ. And barley, in exchange of barley, it will be interest unless it is hand to hand, that is a cash transaction. وَالتَّمَرُ بِالتَّمَرُ رِبَا إِلَّا هَا أَوَهَاءَ. And date, in exchange of dates, it will be regarded as riba. You observe in all this, there's two things of the same type and they're sold by weight or by scale. Then you got to maintain complete equality and it must be a cash deal. It can't be a credit deal. Illa ha awa ha'a. That this person give that person and that person give that person. It must be exchanged in the same majlis, in the same gathering. So this is the hadith of currency exchanges, and more detail of this will be discussed in our future discourses separately on currency exchanges. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand these various laws of Shariat and to implement them in our lives. These laws are not difficult. Hearing them repeatedly, once you internalize them and understand it, the concept becomes very easy. Allah make it easy for us to understand. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.